Amen. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to kind of a familiar place? We've been here a number of different times lately. We're going through the book of Romans on Sunday morning. And we've been in chapter 12, and that's where we're going to be tonight, because I want to look at a different, from a different angle at the same passage that we've looked at before, verses 1 and 2 in Romans chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles, hope you'll turn to that. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, but I'm going to back up again to verse 33 in chapter 11 so we can get a running start, because Paul uses his famous word therefore, and we want to make sure we know why it's therefore. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Father, I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts tonight through this word in a way, Father, that maybe we've not even comprehended it before. Because you're so good by your Holy Spirit, bringing your word to life when we ask you to do that. And Lord, that's what I'm asking you to do tonight, that you will bring your word to life to us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul makes this statement in verse 12, and I know that we could probably spend just as much time tonight on those last three verses of the chapter before, because they're so awesome. But I want to look in verse 12, in the first part of verse 1, and it says, therefore, because of the things that God is, and because of His wisdom, and because of His knowledge, and because His judgments are far beyond us, and no one can know the mind of God, and all those other things, and from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to Him be the glory forever, amen. Therefore, I urge you, the word urge there literally is I beg you, brothers and sisters in Christ, in view of what God has done for us, God's mercy. Aren't you glad that you get the mercy of God? You know, mercy means I'm not going to give you what you deserve. God's given us mercy. He says, in view of this mercy that God has given us, offer yourselves. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, the word offer here in the Greek means to present or offer something of your free will. It's not a ritual that he's saying, you have to do this. He's saying, listen, because of what God has done and because of who He is, therefore, I beg you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. We are to present ourselves of our own volition, of our free will to God, and say, Lord, here I am, use me. It's just like Isaiah said to God when God saw God lifted up in the temple, and Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, I live among a people of unclean lips, but my eyes have seen the Lord. And the Lord said, who will go for us? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. His free will, His volition, His own volition, He said, here I am. I offer myself up to you, Lord. That's what the living sacrifice is all about. It's because we are alive, but we're willing to offer ourselves like a sacrifice on the altar of God and say, Lord, here I am. You see, it's not a command right here. Paul doesn't write, I command you to, brothers, in view of what God has done for you, to offer yourselves. He doesn't say that. He said, I beg you. I urge you. Can't make you. Won't make you. But I urge you by your own desire to offer yourself up. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he'd also written to the church at Corinth. And he said, each of you should give what you've decided, not what somebody else has decided, what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, part of what, and I've called this study a journey of faith, part of what faith is to say, Lord, not only do I believe in you, but I'm going to trust in you and I'm going to follow what you say. I'm going to do what you called me to do. I'm going to do what you are telling me I should be doing. And so I'm going to offer myself up to you. Now Paul goes on to say, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. But he says right before that, I urge you, I beg you, in view of God's mercy, in view of what he's done for us. You see, we should love because he loves. We should give because he gives. We should serve because he serves. We shouldn't do these things because it's a law that we want to check off of our list. We should do these things because of who God is and because of what he has done to us and for us. So we should also be lovers and givers and servers, because that's the path that God has laid out for us. Paul says, I urge you, I beg you, in view of what God has done for you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. So first of all is the offering. Second of all is the commitment that you must make to do that. You see, a living sacrifice means I'm going to place myself on the altar. The altar was what? It's a place of death. They didn't offer up alive animals. They offered up an animal that had been slain. In other words, just as Paul would say later on in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm alive, but it's not me that's alive anymore, it's Christ that now lives in me. You see, so we have to choose to give ourselves up on the altar. There is no partial sacrifice. We can't say, okay, Lord, here I am, I give you myself, but oh, wait a minute, I'm going to take myself back for a while and go do what I want to do. And then I'll come back and offer myself up again. And then, wait, I may go do something else that I really want to do. But then I'll come back and offer it. That's not what this is talking about. Paul is making a statement to the church at Rome. He's making a statement to the church in Craig that if you want to follow God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, you need to offer yourself up on the altar. Not partially, not mostly, but completely. It's a commitment. And by the way, there's no such thing as a partial commitment. If you say you're going to be there, then be there. If you say you're going to do something, then you do it. I commit to do this. If you say you're going to commit to do this, then do it. People have lost a total understanding of what commitment really means. I mean, look at marriage. Look at families that are just torn apart. You know, people say, I commit myself to you, and then they don't. Either you are or you're not committed. There's no middle ground on this. It's black and white. You're either making a commitment to the Lord to offer yourself up to him, to say, Lord, here I am, use me in whatever way it is. Now, if he says, okay, I want to use you to go and to touch some people in this area that's really downtrodden, and there's people that don't have much, and I want you to go there and start making contacts with them and giving them food and helping them out in situations, and you don't want to do that, then you haven't made a commitment. Commitment says, Lord, wherever it is you want me to go, whatever it is you want me to say, whoever you want me to speak to, here I am, Lord, send me. You're either committed or you're not. Totally surrendered. I was thinking as I was preparing this the other day, what it must have been like for those people in some battles of the war who had to surrender because they were totally surrounded and they had to throw their weapons down and had to be taken into prison camps and stuff like that. There wasn't a situation where they said, okay, we're surrendering ourselves, but if we decide we want to go back, is it okay if you'll let us go, right? No. Surrender means I give my will, my freedom, my everything turns away from my to you. Your will, your freedom, your direction, whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is, I give myself completely to you. Completely abandon ourselves to Him. You see, that's why Paul could say, I'm crucified with Christ. It's not up to me anymore. I'm going to do what He says. No matter what it is that He says. Even if I don't understand what He wants me to do, I'm going to keep going until He tells me to do something different. Completely abandoning ourselves to Him. It literally means to entrust everything to Him. By the way, just to know this, and I've been told this multiple times in my own life, and I will repeat it multiple more times probably, but God can do a lot more with what we have than we can. If we'll just give it to Him. If we'll just give it to Him. Lord, it's not my will, it's yours. Lord, it's not my house, it's yours. It's not my car, it's yours. Lord, it's not my job, it's yours. Lord, whatever I've been entrusted with, I now entrust it to you because I'm offering myself up as a living sacrifice. Then it goes on to say, holy and pleasing to God. Holy means to be set apart, sanctified, blameless. You might say, well, that's not me. But you know what? If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it is you. Because that's how God sees you. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ and He sees you set apart, sanctified, and blameless. And folks, that pleases the Lord. That pleases God. If you want to be used by God, you offer yourself up as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. That's true worship. That's what He says here in this passage. To come to Him in proper relationship of total commitment. We don't come to God saying, God, here I am. You can use me any way you want to, but I'm really good at doing this, so if you want to put me in that area, that'd be great. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is, use me. I'm here. I offer myself up to you. Is it confirmation or transformation? See, conformed to this world means a physical world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Look at that, how it says that in verse 12. We're not supposed to conform any longer to the patterns of this world. What are the patterns of this world? Well, we're all born in sin. And for most people, they're looking for the easy path in life. They're just trying to physically, it's all about the physical world. They're not seeing anything spiritually because they don't have a grasp that there is anything spiritual. Won't it be an amazing thing when God opens the eyes of every single person at one point and they all see so much more in the spiritual world than they could ever imagine? Our minds need to be transformed and not conformed. Most people are born, even though they're born in sin, they're just looking for the easy path. They're just the path of least resistance, basically. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find that road. When you offer yourself up to God, you need to understand that we are no longer to be conformed to this world. We are to be transformed. Look at what it says. The word is metamorpho, metamorphosis. We have to have a transformed mind. In other words, it's not about the physical life anymore. It's about the spiritual life. The mind of Christ. This is the work of the Holy Spirit as we offer ourselves up to Him. When we completely submit ourselves to God, He begins a transforming work in our hearts and minds that bring us from the world that everybody else sees to the world that God sees. You see, because God sees a lot different than we do. We look at people and we judge them by how they look or how they act or how they sound or whatever else. We decide we like one person and don't like another person. That's not how God looks at this world. He looks at every single person through the eyes of love. And He loves them so much that He was willing to pay the price for them, no matter who they are and no matter what they've done. Confirmation or transformation? It has to be a transformation, a metamorphosis, a change, complete change from the inside out, just like we sang that song a while ago. Lastly, what is the result of that? We'll look at it again in verse 12. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here it is. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now let me tell you something. Once you realize and understand what God's will is, and because we've offered ourselves up as a living sacrifice, then our whole desire and focus and motive of life should be to see God's will done. You know, when Jesus was praying and his disciples asked Him to teach him how to pray, and we all know the Lord's Prayer, and in the midst of that, He makes that statement. Not my will, but your will be done. In the midst of praying in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. You see, a new mind sees things from a new perspective. So if God gives you a new heart and a new mind, which He does, then we begin to see what He sees. I think I mentioned this before, but when I was a little kid, my grandpa used to get some magazines, and in the back there were these little ads that you could write in and send a dollar and they'd send you one of these toys or whatever. And I was always fascinated by this toy that supposedly was x-ray glasses. And when you put it on, you could see through things. And I always liked Superman on TV. It was the time I was growing up. And so I wanted to be able to see through things. And so I scraped together a dollar and I sent off for that. And when it came in the mail, I was so excited. And my grandma said, "You got something in the mail. I don't know what it is." And so I grabbed it and took off into my room. Man, I couldn't open that thing fast enough. And I put those things on. And then I started to say, "Oh, I bet I can look through anything." And guess what? I couldn't. I wasted a dollar because somebody had told somebody that it would work, and it wouldn't. But you know what? When you put on the mind of Christ and you begin to look at this world, and you begin to look at people, you look at your neighbors, you look at your relatives, you look at your people that you work with, you begin to see them from God's perspective instead of your own. Yeah, they can be obnoxious sometimes. Maybe they can be rude. Sometimes they can do things that just frustrate you. But don't we do that as well? And haven't we done that to God? Instead, we begin to see what He sees. That's wisdom. It's seeing things and people from God's perspective. So we're transforming into the person that He wants us to be, into the new creature that He's making. And then He says, at the end of this passage, He says this, "So you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will." Three things. His will is to bring glory to Himself. Scripture tells us that over and over again. God deserves all the glory. Nobody else deserves it. He deserves it. That's His goodwill. His pleasing will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That pleases the Lord when somebody gives their life to Him and trusts Him for their salvation. And what is His perfect will? His will is that His church should work together as the body of Christ. Not as a bunch of appendages running around doing their own thing, because if that were the case in our own bodies, we wouldn't be a body. We are to work together as the body of Christ. And that's why we then get in to this motivational gifts of the Spirit that we're going through on Sunday. And I just, I know that in the presence of God and in the giving of ourselves to Him, and as He transforms us, He will begin to use His church as the body of Christ. That's what He wants. That's what He desires. That's what He called us to do. And the question is, will we do it? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for Your Word. It's so rich, and there's always so much more. And every time we go into it, You speak by Your Holy Spirit if we're just listening. And I pray, Father, that You will continue to do that as we go through Your Word, as we continue to study Your Word daily, that You'll just continue to feed our hearts and our minds and our spirit with who You really are and what You really see and what You really want and what You're in the process of doing. And that, Lord, we will truly offer ourselves daily. Offer ourselves daily, as it says in Luke 9:23. Take up our cross daily and follow You. Not our own will, not our own way, not our own desire. We will follow You. Take up our cross means dead to self, alive to You. And I pray that's what we'll do in Jesus' name.